Hi, this is Grandy Mahar from Mythbusters, and you're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is This Week in Geek's Nerd News Network. Now, this is a show you may remember from back in the day we used to do, probably at least a couple of years. I remember running it. I think we did it, well, obviously once a week, but we usually would record on Fridays or I think the occasional Sunday, depending on who we could get involved. And it would be me, could be Dave, could be any number of the other people involved in the Twig show, and we get together and talk about what happened in the news. Well, it's 2014, and I've decided to resurrect the show. It's kind of a personal project of my own, because now I've got a little bit more free time than I ever have before in the past. Most notably, blisteredthumbs.net. As of today, we got the announcement that Blistered Thumbs is going to be merging with That Guy with the Glasses, which means the site is going to be shut down, at least temporarily. So that means Rad will be premiering here on Twig in a more consistent basis later on this month, as I decide what distribution platform I want to use. Likely I'm going to stick with audio until I get back over on Channel Awesome, but continuing right along with what is going on. So what I'm going to do, this is kind of like a morning show, so to speak, the sort of thing you'd hear on any different number of radio stations. Now, I would like to actually kind of make this a bit of a call-in program eventually, and it's going to depend vastly when I do this during the day. I mean, as of right now, I'm recording this at 5:37 in the morning simply because I can't sleep. Insomnia's a bitch. So what I'm typically going to do is probably talk for about 15, 20 minutes, depending on what's kind of going on in the geek world, such as it is. And I'll cover things from science, entertainment, basically anything I find weird, basically anything I find interesting, and hopefully you will too. And I'd love you guys to send stories in to me if you think they're interesting. I just wish that they come from the calendar week. So if I do a show on Friday, which is the ideal day I'm going to do the show, you can send me stories from Saturday until the following Thursday, sort of thing. Basically, within that little bit of a week thing. But if it's a big story, like Joss Whedon assassinated or something, I'm not going to cover that because everybody else and their grandmother likely already has. But ultimately, I'm going to talk about what I want to do. So I want to actually send a couple of inspirations for this. I actually got the inspiration for this listening to one of my favorite people on Toronto Talk Radio, and that would be Mike Stafford. Just the way that he has a very free-form flowing show, and also Tina Trajani, also from AM640. So in the unlikely event that they listen to this, that's awesome. Thank you guys for kind of giving me the gusto to just kind of do this to keep my live radio chops as functioning as well as I do. But anyway, guys, if you guys want to get involved in the show, you can email feedback@thisweekingeek.net or call in, which I'm pretty sure the voice line works because it works with my Xbox One. It's acting a little funny. And that number is 817-717-7202, and I will respond to every piece of email and voicemail that we get, so you guys can have a voice on the show, and I definitely appreciate you guys getting involved, such as it was. So I guess let's kick things off with the Nerd News Network. Today is Friday, January 17th, 2014, and well, a lot of things have happened this week in geek, so to speak. Ha-ha, you see what I did there? Yeah, it's pretty fucking lame. But anyway, one of the things that actually got announced this week, and actually I have to thank Blanchard from the GeekCast Radio Network, who frequently collaborates with Twig in some capacity, posted a link on Facebook saying the 60s Batman TV show is finally coming to DVD, and oddly enough, thanks to Conan O'Brien. And the picture that was on the post was Conan O'Brien sitting in the Batmobile saying, "Hey, this still smells like Adam West," which is weird. But yeah, evidently it is true. Confirmed by TV shows on DVD, I believe. WB Home Entertainment is going to release the complete 66 Batman TV series. That's like 120 eps, I think, or something like that. Now, one of the things that I really want to know is, A, price. Are we getting a Blu-ray version? Will it be full screen? Will it be letterbox? And special features. Since Adam West and Burt Ward are still alive, Will they be doing commentaries? Is there going to be a documentary on this sort of thing? Basically, it's great to have the show, but I myself want to hear the extras. And I know there's been a number of television documentaries talking about Batman. I know there was that Return to the Batcave thing they did, and there was Batman the Movie, which would be cool if they included that. But, you know, I don't expect them to, sort of thing. And I guess the reason they're doing this, because this has been tied up in legal mumbo-jumbo for I can't remember how long. They're finally got the rights. And my guesstimate as to why they're doing this is to sort of keep Batman in the public eye as they prepare for Batman versus Superman next year for Man of Steel 2. And since they canceled the other Batman TV show, I think it was called Beware the Batman or something like that. The cartoon, anyway. And they just want people to obviously remember this is still happening. And obviously Fox is developing the Gotham pilot, which will feature a young Jim Gordon, which will not feature Batman at all. Just a crime procedural happening in Gotham City, though we may see the rise of the Riddler, the Joker, the Penguin, Catwoman, blah, 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 but no cape and cowl. I imagine they'll do something with that, but back to the story at hand. I'm really excited for this. I'm going to guess that the series will probably go for about $100, maybe $120. That's what I'm going to say. And my guess is they'll probably do something really cool with the packaging, likely involving either the Batcomputer or the Batmobile. And if they're smart, they'll release this at San Diego Comic-Con, or they'll have a big announcement. So my prediction is this will come out either during San Diego, and there may even be a San Diego exclusive set, or this will come out before holiday, just so they can get a really big sales boost for numbers and whatnot, which I think that'll be tremendously cool. And if they're going to release it, if you're going to get this signed at a convention, I would highly recommend you do so, because Adam West and Burt Ward aren't getting any younger, and we don't have many of the memorable villains like Cesar Romero still alive, or Frank Gorshin, or Burgess Meredith, or anybody like that. Still, this is pretty friggin' cool, so keep watching out for more news on this. I'll definitely update more as I find out more. Kind of keeping along with the entertainment kind of vibe that I'm taking on right now. Once again, sticking with DC, evidently there was a meeting this week in Los Angeles, like it brought all the television critics and all the big networks, prated around some of their cool pilots, some of the new ideas that are coming out, like 24 Live Another Day comes out this summer, stuff like that. But evidently, an executive from the CW, the same people that produce Arrow, has said the Wonder Woman Project Amazon is dead. They're not going to do anything with it. Now, the last time we heard about this was 2011 when NBC did something with David E. Kelley, the guy behind Ally McBeal, wanted to do something with it, and the costume looked stupid. In fact, I remember the porno version looking a lot better, and I'm pretty sure they had a better woman cast as Wonder Woman. Now, I'm kind of surprised they're doing this, simply because they want to put Wonder Woman in the public eye. So if we're going to do this, they got to do something. It wouldn't surprise me if there's another Wonder Woman DC animated feature in the works. Once again, that is pure speculation. I don't know for sure. But a quote from CW president Mark Pedowitz told The Hollywood Reporter, "We did not go forward with it," which is kind of unfortunate, considering the CW network itself is developing other DC properties such as The Flash, Hourman, and iZombie. So, I don't know. I mean, I think this is kind of a stupid move, because Wonder Woman has been a successful television property before with, I can't remember her name, something Carter. Once again, feedback at thisweekingeek.net to blast the shit out of me. But Wonder Woman kind of deserves her own moment in the sun. I was actually watching a documentary on Netflix this past week called Wonder Women. My wife, Blair, pointed this out to me, because I'm either watching documentaries or really shitty horror movies. And I watched it this week, and I realized just how important Wonder Woman really is to basically not just women, but men too. I mean, she's as powerful as Superman. She's basically like a goddess on Earth. And her stories are fairly awesome. I know her run in the New 52 is supposedly quite good. I myself read the first issue. I couldn't get into it, but I'm willing to reconsider it, maybe picking up one of the trade paperbacks now. And I also remember being quite cheap with her in Injustice Gods Among Us, the fighting game, which came out last year and most recently for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So, CW, I think that's a bit of a mistake. But then again, there's a lot of superhero shows on television right now. We got Arrow, we got The Tomorrow People, Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a bit of a side story. They're going to be having a new person coming into new S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's a, forget the name of the character, I think it's like John Garrett, I'm pretty sure the name is. He's the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who's like a cyborg or whatever, played by Bill Paxton, and that's going to be in late February, early March, I think, and he's going to appear for 4 to 5 episodes. My guess is that likely ties into the Avengers, not Avengers, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and that comes out in April, which I wouldn't surprise me if that's when the season finale is for S.H.I.E.L.D., and the show's been receiving consistent ratings, although since the year has started here in January, it's a lot better than it has been. And that's what a lot of people are saying with S.H.I.E.L.D. They're waiting for something to happen. And finally we're starting to get answers as to what happened with Coulson, why he was brought back from the dead, what's different, we're finding out who the clairvoyant is, etc., etc. So I myself hold high hopes for the show. I like Joss Whedon's work, although admittedly I didn't much care for Dollhouse, but I loved Firefly. So what do I know? So yeah, that'll be happening later on this month. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is on a 2-week hiatus. They won't have a new episode until February 4th or 5th, I think. And I'm hoping the Stan Lee cameo, which they have in the series, pays off kind of funny. But supposedly they're going to kill a character. So we'll have to wait and see. If I'm trying to think who out of the main cast would be expendable, I don't know. I could see them killing maybe Ward. Maybe, but I don't think they'd kill Fitz or Simmons, because I think they're great comedy. They're not going to kill Skye, because she's the central character. Obviously, Coulson, yeah, right. Ming-Na, it's a possibility, but I think she's like the resident badass. And the guy that plays Ward, I think he's getting better in his role. He's getting more comfortable, so I don't know. It's a possibility. So anyway, kind of steering away out of that, one last entertainment story that I want to talk about. Excuse me, is the RoboCop remake. Those of you that know me know that I'm a huge RoboCop fan. Been a fan since the movie came out in 87. I was a very impressionable young lad and loved the Auto 9. And it's one of those movies that probably shouldn't be remade. In fact, I was actually watching something on YouTube. I think the channel's called the RoboCop Archive, and they have one of the special features uploaded. Paul Verhoeven is talking about it, and he says RoboCop really is timeless in the regards that it really is the snapshot of social satire and just the way corporate culture worked and, you know, just the way America was going to hell back in the 80s. And I don't know what this new one is trying to do. I mean, obviously, I guess they're trying to get the automated warfare, how it's all push button and drones and everything. And a lot of people are skeptical, myself included. Now, they have released a couple of trailers and do look pretty cool. You got Michael Keaton, you got Sam Jackson, this guy from The Killing who plays the new guy. What's the hell is his name? It's going to drive me nuts. But Joel Kinnaman's, right. So they released a new clip this week where it shows him kind of training, I guess. He's fighting other robo-drones or something. And his voice just sounds off. I mean, the clip's about a minute long, and it's just showing him shooting, and Gary Oldman's characters are like, see, we can control him, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see what they're going to do with this new remake. I think it opens on February 14th. So, I don't know. I know that'll be my Valentine's Day, that and The Last of Us DLC. My wife will likely have something to say about this. But, I don't know, I want to be excited for this. I really, really do. But I think they're going to drop the ball, but maybe it'll be one of those things that maybe we'll pick up on DVD. But if you release a movie typically in January or February, you're in the I don't give a fuck from a studio perspective. It's where you put movies you expect not to do so well. They're out of Oscar contention, I think. And it's just, it's a lot of who gives a shit. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I got two more stories to talk about, bringing it to my expertise of video games. Nintendo doesn't think the Wii U is selling that great. Let me be clear, I love Nintendo, I really do. I was really happy when Nintendo gave me a Wii U when the system launched. Unfortunately, the Wii U's had a year to entrench itself, to sort of get a really big install base as composed to the Xbox 360, PS3, Xbox One, and PS4. And they were forecasting that they would, by the end of this year, they would sell 9 million Wii U units. That number has been revised to 2.8. Now, I suck at math, but I can tell you those numbers are shit. And it sucks because they would only sell like 30 to 60,000 consoles a month when you compare to like Xbox and Sony's. Like, they're selling hundreds of thousands of units per month. And I think Nintendo didn't quite know what they were doing when they launched it. And the reason that is they didn't have that killer app. I think, anyway. You can't rely on just a Mario title and some third-party support. I mean, Ubisoft, I think, has probably been about one of the best supporters of the platform, along with WB Games, with, like, the Scribblenauts, the Lego stuff, Splinter Cell, Assassin's Creed, etc., etc., but none of the DLC, which is, frankly, fuck off. The hardware, it just doesn't stack up. I mean, you're launching a next-generation console with 32 gigs. Yeah, you can put, I'm pretty sure you can add additional support to it via, like, external hard drive, but no, give me the option, give me half a terabyte. If you're going to sell me a console right now, that's what you should be doing. And I don't know what Nintendo was thinking. I mean, honestly, they could have had a huge jump on the competition in that regard, but whatever. Now, the 3DS, to contrast, has sold a shit ton. And they forecasted 18 million 3DSs. That number has changed to 13.5, and that's pretty respectable, all things considered. I'm actually getting the source of the story from Kotaku, so if you notice some familiar wording. And yeah, the 3DS is fantastic. I mean, there's The Legend of Zelda, Link Between Worlds came out, Pokemon X and Y, the new Zelda 3DS XL, stuff like that. So the handhelds are really doing well, and I'm really, really, really happy for them. But I want the Wii U to do better. I mean, Mario World 3D or whatever it is was fun. I'll give you that. Wii Fit Party, I think I have it somewhere. I don't know. It's probably in my bedroom. That's where I keep all my Nintendo consoles. I like to sleep with Mario. God, that sounds so stupid. But, yeah, there's nothing there. And this year, we're not getting Smash, but I think we're getting Mario Kart and some other titles. Donkey Kong Country comes out next month. There's nothing there for the core gamer. And Zelda, they're predicting like 2016, I think, maybe 2015. But nothing's been announced. I really hope Nintendo comes out strong at E3, because they're going to need to. But then again, if Nintendo became a purely handheld developer, which is not likely to happen, I wouldn't feel bad about supporting them, because the 3DS is a fantastic platform. They can do so much with it. Hell, can you imagine how much more 3DSs they would sell if they would port, say, Earthbound over to the 3DS, which I know that must cause at least a small spike in Wii U sales. But, you know. So there is that, all things considered. So I got one last story. Or actually, I have one really short one and one that you probably should be paying attention to. And the really quick story is, this comes out of the UK, I think. Nope, sorry, this comes from Michigan. I'm sorry, I'm getting it from a UK website. Scientists have scoured the internet for proof of time travel. Scientists have been hunting evidence of time travelers from the future by looking for mentions of people or events before they could have possibly have heard them, using things like Pope Francis, Comet Ison, stuff like that. And these two people would look on Twitter, Facebook, and basically the websites, basically looking for keywords that would show up. And what they said in their paper is, given the current prevalence of the internet, this search might be considered the most sensitive and comprehensive search yet for time travel from the future. Technically, what was searched for here were not physical time travels themselves, but rather information traces left by them. Although the negative results reported here may indicate that time travelers from the future are not among us and cannot communicate with us over the modern-day internet, they are by no means proof. There are many reasons for this. First, it may be physically impossible for time travelers to leave any lasting remnants of their stay in the past, including even non-corporeal information remnants on the internet. Next, it may be physically impossible for us to find such information that would violate some yet unknown laws of physics. Furthermore, time travelers may not want to be found and may be really good at covering their tracks. I can think of better reasons to spend money. I like the idea of time travel, but just the idea of a paradox, and I'm pretty sure when you break it down, I'm pretty sure time travel falls apart on something that probably I don't understand, but likely somebody does. So, I don't know. I'm one of those weird friggin' stories that you just find out there. So thank you, The Telegraph, out of the UK, and Coast to Coast AM. Now, this is my last story, and this one's a pretty big one. So this is something you're probably going to want to look up more on your own. And evidently, this relates to net neutrality. And what it boils down to is, I'm actually going to read you something, just so I can explain it better than I could, and this comes to us from io9.com. Since 1970 or so, carriers like AT&T and Verizon have been barred from blocking or degrading whatever is transported over their lines. Although at the time the rule primarily concerned long-distance voice calls, that principle applied to the internet. It has become more recently known as net neutrality. It offers a basic guarantee that content providers on a network, whether that be YouTube, Wikipedia, or bloggers, can reach their users without worrying about being blocked, harassed, or forced to pay a toll by the carrier. Policing that rule in its various guises has become a core mission of the Federal Communications Commission for the past four decades, and keeping carriers away from the internet content has been among the FCC's most successful policy initiatives since its creation. In 1934, it is the Magna Carta of the web. Today, there's not a tech firm or blog that doesn't owe something from the open, unblocked internet. So what this means for you, in a nutshell, is let's say you stream a lot of Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Your ISP could charge you more because you're taping up more of the bandwidth. And I know there's been a couple of stories in the news over the last year saying a lot of data traffic in the U.S. is from streaming services. So if you want to access the new 4K YouTube or the HD Netflix, and you may have to pay more to reach turbo speed or whatever, or to get to that content faster, stuff like that. And this basically kind of sucks. There's a much better explanation, which I'm actually going to link here. I'll actually, really should put up a link to all my stories if you want to read them, but I'll probably put up just this one, specifically, and the RoboCop clip, just so you guys can read about this, because this sucks. And this came from some nobody judge, too. So this is probably something you guys should be informed about, just because nobody wants to pay money. And we actually saw an example of this, because this happens all the time in cable. Once again, I'm going to quote from the article. These days, internet firms like Google and Facebook are so powerful that they could decide to turn around and demand that internet providers pay them for the right to access their sites. This is the norm in cable television, and the situation was painfully illustrated to Time Warner Cable's customers this past fall when they lost CBS programming for a month during a fee dispute between the two companies. CBS ultimately prevailed in extracting higher fees to carry its content. We actually saw this in Canada when Rogers was threatening to get rid of AMC because AMC wanted more money. And everybody loves The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad, and a lot of people were going to Twitter and they were just yelling at that. I think there actually was a funny story that people were bitching at the @Rogers account, which is just some dude in New York And he was like, I'm not the dude. Please go to at Rogers Help or something. So anyway, guys, I've probably rambled on for a long enough time here on the Nerd News Network. So I'll be back next Friday. Once again, feedback at thisweekingeek.net if you want to get in touch, or via the phone line. Like I said, I'm hoping this will work. I'm crossing my fingers at 817-717-7202. And the shows will always be live before 3 o'clock on a Friday, because I feel that's the right time. So take me on your drive home or something. Listen to me at work. It doesn't matter. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and live free or die hard.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.